In Daniel 4, you've got a very clear statement of what is going to happen to Nebuchadnezzar. It couldn't be clearer. He is going to be abased. He is going to have to learn humility, and only then can he be exalted. It's really quite clear. It's stated as if this is definitely going to happen. And then you come to verse 27. Daniel says, and he's pleading with the king, "Therefore, O king, let my advice be acceptable to you, and break off your sins by righteousness and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, so that there may be a lengthening of your prosperity." Well, I think what he's saying is, yes, this is going to happen, but if you repent, break off your sins by righteousness, then this will not happen. And it's like God saying, in 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. There were no terms and conditions. It was simply stated. But they did repent, and God changed. And so there was not the destruction of Nineveh in 40 days, as God had said. So I think that God makes a statement of judgment, and then there is a gap between the statement and its fulfillment. During that gap, there can be repentance, and there can be a change. There can be a recalculation of the future judgment that has been very carefully planned in great detail, as it was for Nebuchadnezzar. So we live in that gap. And this is the intensity of our position, that the wages of sin is death. And that is what we deserve, to stay dead forever. But we live in the gap between now and the day of judgment. And we can change that outcome. And by grace, we have changed that outcome by repentance and by acceptance of God's grace. So this is what gives an urgency to life. This is what makes life matter. It's what makes repentance important. It's what makes humility important. Because here in Daniel 4, you have particular stress on the need for him to humble himself. And if he wasn't going to do that, then God was going to abase him so that in due time he might exalt him. So humility is of the essence, and it is urgent. This is not something to just vaguely think about, maybe as we break bread and examine ourselves and think, oh, yeah, I should be a bit more humble. You know, this is a matter of urgency, because we live in the gap. And we don't know how long we have left to live in this world. We absolutely could feel a pain in our chest and think, oh, what's happening? And the next you know, it's the day of judgment. You've had a heart attack, and the next you know, the next waking moment, Jesus has come back, and it's the day of judgment. Now, I'm not saying that we should be sort of spooked into being good. Not at all. That is not God's wish. He wants open and loving two-way relationship with us, and not spooking us. Although, you know, Paul does say in Corinthians that knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And Jeremiah talks about this when he says, both about individuals and about nations, that God will state something about a nation, but if they repent, it will not happen. It's very clear. God can take the clay and work it in a certain way, and then decide that he's going to throw it away, or if it's malleable, then he can work with it in another way. And I want to just speculate a little bit on verse 27. What specifically was Nebuchadnezzar intended to do? Break off your sins by righteousness and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. And I suggest that that righteousness and mercy to the poor was specifically in terms of allowing the Jews to return to Judah, to re-establish God's kingdom there. Because righteousness, which he's asked to show, is a favourite theme of Isaiah's prophecies of the restoration. When he's told, show mercy to the poor, this is the word used in Psalm 102, Isaiah 30, about how God would show favour or mercy to Zion. The poor, literally the afflicted ones, is the very term used about Judah, who'd been afflicted by the Babylonians. It's used in Isaiah 60 about that. It's used by Jeremiah in Lamentations 5:11. the poor, or the afflicted ones, were those whom Nebuchadnezzar had afflicted. He's asked to show favour to Zion, to show mercy to them, to show righteousness in doing this. And he's told to break off his sins, and that's the term used of removing the yoke upon Judah in captivity. Break off, lift off the yoke. It's the term in Lamentations 5 again, all about the ending of the yoke that Nebuchadnezzar had put upon Judah. And when he's told to put an end to his sins, break off your sins, I wonder if that is not an intensive plural, as you sometimes do get in Hebrew, meaning your great sin, which was what he'd done to the Jews. So I wondered if Daniel is not telling him, look, do what everybody will think is crazy. Recognize that you went too far in judging us. Although you were acting in one sense under God's direct command, that doesn't mean that you are somehow innocent of what you did. Have the humility to abase yourself and restore Judah, and you will be blessed. But he didn't. So he was abased, and so the threatened judgment did come. But I think a fair case could be made that when he then arises from that, after the seven times have passed over him, then he does accept the God of Israel, and maybe we will see Nebuchadnezzar in God's kingdom. It's as if he came to that realization too late. If he had come to it earlier in his life, then he could have restored Judah as I think God intended. So then, he didn't see that the word that was being spoken to him was personal. And that's why in verse 31, we read, "There fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken." He accepted that Daniel was speaking God's word. He had seen the visions of God and had been given the interpretation, had accepted it was true. But he's told, to you it is spoken. That might sound as obvious as me saying, listen, I'm talking to you. Well, yes, of course I'm talking to you. But you can sort of not pay attention to it, can't you? And this is how it is when we engage with the scriptures. They are the voice of God, but then we have to be told, listen, to you it is spoken. Personalize it. This is God talking to you. This is not some academic study that you've got to do to sort of find more and more evidence for the positions, the doctrinal, theological positions of your particular denomination. To you it is spoken. If you do not abase and humble yourself, you will be humbled in condemnation. You really can change the outcome now. To you it is really spoken.